our lessons on discipleship course and fundamental truths and stuff like that. And if you see there, you've got a lesson there in front of you. Personal Bible reading. Thank you, brother. Really appreciate it. Personal Bible reading. And this lesson tonight is on the subject of personal Bible reading. And I just, as quickly as possible, would like to give you 3 points on why you should read your Bible. Why you should read your Bible. And you've got your notes there in front of you. We got the verses there on your notes, so you should be able to see them quickly. Point number one, like, I don't want to be very long tonight, so point number one, let's just get right into it. Why you should read your Bible. We're preaching on the subject of fundamental truth. We're preaching on the subject of what you should believe, or the things that should really mold your life as a Christian, just the basic discipleship things. And one thing you've got to do as a Christian is just read your Bible and know your Bible. You say, well, why do we read our Bible? What is the purpose of reading the Bible? Number one, we ought to read our Bible for personal, we said there, number one, personal Bible reading for knowledge. Personal Bible reading for knowledge. Now, a lot of times I hear people say, or I hear Christians say, or I hear pastors say, things like this. They'll say, you ought to read your Bible until you get some sort of a warm feeling from it, and you get some sort of emotional thing from it, and you just read till you just get that feeling. And you know, if you read the Bible and something moves you in Scripture, hey, that's great, and praise the Lord for it. But you know, a reason we ought to be reading the Bible every day, and yes, for the encouragement, and yes, for the warm feeling that comes from it, but also you got to read your Bible just for knowledge, just for knowing the Scriptures. In Matthew chapter number 12 there, if you look at verse, you know, we've got there verse number 2 for you, it says, but when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. So they were going through, and they were plucking out ears of corn to eat as they were going through the field there. And it was on a Sabbath day, which is for the seventh day of the week. They're supposed to be resting. The Pharisees came to complain to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they said, hey, your disciples are doing things they should not do. And I want you to notice the response of the Lord Jesus Christ in verse number 3. He says, the Bible says, but he said unto them, notice what he says, have ye not read? Do you see that? What that tells us is that he expected them to be in their Bible. He expected them to already know. They were asking him a question, and it was kind of a silly question, because if they would have just read their Bible, they would have understood. But it's interesting to me, he responds, have ye not read? And then he begins to tell them what David did when he was in hunger, and they that were with him, and how he entered into the house of God and did eat the show bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests. Look at verse 5. Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? So his response to them is, if you just read your Bible, you wouldn't ask that question. Matthew chapter 19, verse 3. We got it there for your notes. Again, the Pharisees also come unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Sometimes I feel like the Lord Jesus Christ, I get asked this question a lot. People sometimes they try to just go around the issue, and they'll say, well, pastor, you know, do you think it's okay for I'm divorced and I really want to start dating? Do you think that's okay? And people try to phrase it in all sorts of different ways, and they you know, well, you don't understand my situation. This happened in my just, and I know that other divorced people, they shouldn't date, but my situation is unique and this and blah blah. And people ask me these questions all the time, and I really don't know why people ask me these questions. Because, I mean, I preach about this behind the pulpit, and they think that somehow the answer is going to change face to face. I'm actually nice behind the pulpit. When they ask me face to face, I just respond, well, have you not read? Because that's what Jesus said. Look at verse 4. And he answered and said, have you not read? That he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let man no man put asunder. He says, look, the Bible already gives you the answer, and it's interesting to me. There are few people, and there are people out there, who will ask you a question, and they really want to know the answer. Like they're actually interested. What does the Bible say about this? There are people like that out there. But what I have found in ministry is the vast majority of people want to ask you a question because they want you to rubber stamp their sin. And let me just explain to you, I don't know who you think Pastor Jimenez is, but my response, I'm not going to outrank the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to come ask me, well, Pastor Jimenez, do you think that it's okay? There is one group of people that I get excited about them coming to church and finding someone to date at church and dating. Hey, if people want to come to church and meet a single there and date and get married, you will not find anybody more excited for that situation than Pastor Jimenez, Miss Joanne Jimenez, and our family. We're going to get excited. We're going to get behind that. Hey, I might give you a gift card so you can go out to dinner. But let me tell you, the only people I'm going to get excited for are people that have never been married. If you come to Verity Baptist Church, you say, I've been divorced and I'm going to hook up with so-and-so. Let me tell you something. You better get ready to fight somebody because this guy's going to fight it. I'm not for it. I'm against it. It is sin. It is wrong. And I don't understand why people come to our church. They listen to me preach. And they still want to go again. I'm thinking, so why do you come here? Why are you here? I'm not leaving. You're not voting me out. You can try all you want. It's not going to happen. So the answer is this. At Verity Baptist Church, we just believe the Bible. So you want to ask me a question, I'm just going to say this. Well, have you not read? You would have read that 9 chapters a day if you would have signed up. You would have done it. Look at another example. Matthew 22:28. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? So now they ask him a dumb question. This is just a dumb question. They come to, because they're trying to mess him up, and they say there was a woman. She was married to this man, and the guy died. So then the brother married her, and then the brother died. So then the other brother married her, and then the brother died, and she ended up marrying seven brothers. They all died. She had no children. And after resurrection, whose wife is she going to be? And just like, that's a dumb question. That is, do you understand that would never happen? You know, can you imagine somebody marrying seven brothers and all seven dying and no children, you know? Because these people didn't believe in the resurrection. So they're asking Jesus a dumb question about the resurrection because they're like, we got you now. If the resurrection is real, then who is she going to be married to? Look at his response, verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures. Notice. He says, you know what your error is? You don't understand the Bible. He says, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven, but as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read? You see that? That which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. He keeps answering this. He's like, well, why don't you just read your Bible? Mark 12:10. He said, and have you not read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. Mark 12:24 says, and Jesus answering said unto them, do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the scriptures, neither the power of God? For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but as the angels which are in heaven, and as touching the dead, that they rise. Have ye not read in the book of Moses, how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? Luke 6:2, and certain of the Pharisees said unto them, why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day? And Jesus answering them said, have ye not read so much as this, what David did when himself was an hungered and they which were with him? The Lord Jesus Christ in this ministry expected people and assumed that he says, well, why don't you just read your Bible? And notice they're asking him questions and he's saying, if you just read your Bible, you would have answered that. And look, let me tell you something. We take a strong stand on the Word of God at Verity Baptist Church. Let me just go back to this example, just because it's something easy for people to understand. You come to this church and you've been divorced before, hey, we're going to love you. You say, Pastor, I've been divorced and I'm remarried. What do you think I should do? Stay married to the one you're with. Love them. And do right from here on. You understand that? But we're not going to rubber stamp your sin at the same time. Can we take a stand for the Word of God and still be loving? Can we take a stand for the Word of God and still, you know, be friends? Can we take a stand for the Word of God and say, no, thus saith the Lord God, this is what the Bible says, and still be able to say, well, people make mistakes, we ought to be accepting and loving. Do you understand what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, it's have you not read? And we're not going to rubber stamp people saying, well, you don't understand. In my situation, look, let me tell you something. At this type of church, there are two types of people. Those who love the Word of God, and they might not agree with everything we say, but they love the Bible and they understand it. And those who are just trying to constantly fight it and trying to constantly go against it. Let me tell you something. We're not changing. This church and our ministry and our lives ought to be a life of, have you not read? Why? For knowledge. God commands us to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Look at 2 Peter 3:18. He says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And God expects us to grow, not only in grace, although you ought to grow in grace, but He also expects us to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Every year, you ought to know more about the Bible. Every year, you ought to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ. Every year, you ought to learn and know more about this book and what this book says. And every year, you ought to be growing in that knowledge. Why? Because that's what God commands us to do. And you say, how are you going to grow? Have you not read? You read. Look at letter C. The Bible says in Hosea 4:1, it says, we are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Isaiah 4:1 says, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, no mercy, no knowledge of God. Do you see that? In the land. That's the society we live in today. Today you talk to people and they don't know the first thing about God. They don't know the first thing about the Bible. They don't know the first thing about Christianity. They walk into a church like this and they think, this is crazy. No, this is actually what the Bible says. This is how you ought to preach. The Bible says, cry aloud and spare not. This is how church ought to be, where you come to church and you actually read and you actually study and you actually compare and you actually learn. And sometimes your sin is brought up and sometimes you don't feel that comfortable and sometimes you leave here thinking, wow, I really got to take care of that. That's how church ought to be. But today, we are destroyed for the knowledge of God. Look at Hosea 4:6. He says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Notice what he says. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. God never rejects anybody. This is another verse to show you that. That thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Hosea 4:14. I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery. For themselves are separated with the whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore, notice what he says. Therefore, the people that doth not understand shall fall. Say, why do you need knowledge? Because if you don't have knowledge, you shall fall. Because if you don't have knowledge, you will mess up your life. I am amazed as I deal with people and I talk to people. If I set out to just mess up my life, I don't think I could do it as well as some people do it. I mean, it's almost like, wow, did you do that on purpose? I mean, it's crazy. But you say, what is it? It's the lack of knowledge. We don't know. Let me tell you something. You cannot raise a child for God in our society if you do not know what the Bible says. You cannot have a marriage that will be successful in this society. You say, well, I know marriages are successful. Really, in God's eyes? Today, marriages are successful. You know, what the world considers as successful marriages, we don't fight. Not fighting is not what constitutes a successful marriage. Not fighting with your children does not make you a good parent. But we will not be successful because we have a lack of knowledge. We just literally don't know what to do. You watch people and the choices they make and the things they say. And I think to myself, if they would have read the Bible, they would have known not to say that. Not to do that. Not to think that way. But we've been brainwashed by the media today, and you've been brainwashed by the television, you've been brainwashed by this world society. You just got to understand, sometimes you got to get away and read the Bible just so you know what it is that God wants you to do. He says, they are destroyed for lack of knowledge. He says, people that does not understand shall fall. Number two. We said, number one, why should you read your Bible? You got to read your Bible for knowledge. Read your Bible just to know what the Bible says. Read your Bible so when I get up here and I preach about, Your name ought to be blotted out of the book. You know, it's gonna. No, your name ought to be blotted. That ain't come out right. The names will get blotted out of the book of life. You know, when I preach all that, you think, oh yeah, I've seen that before. Yeah, I've read that in Exodus before. I've read that in Psalms. You gotta be knowledgeable. Number two, why should you read your Bible, personal Bible reading, for nourishment and growth? Personal Bible reading for nourishment and growth. So you gotta read for knowledge. Read just to know the Bible. And let me ask you this. I mean, honestly, and don't answer out loud. This is for your own mind. But how well do you know the Bible? And look, none of us know the Bible like we should. But you ought to, man, you ought to understand the Scriptures. And if you don't, hey, you read 9 chapters a day in the month of January. You'd be surprised. I love it when people come to our church and they say, you know, I've never read the New Testament. It's so amazing. I've learned so much. You think, why did you learn? Because you read. If you read, you would learn. If you read, you would understand what it is that God wants you to do. So number one, personal Bible reading for knowledge. Number two, personal Bible reading for growth. Personal Bible reading for growth. Letter A, the new Christian or baby Christian grows by getting in the Bible. The Bible refers to itself as the sincere milk of the Word. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. You grow by the sincere milk of the Word. Letter B, having God's Word abide in you will nourish you. John 15:5 says, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. He says, I'm the vine and you branch out. He said, you're connected to me, and what the vine does for the branches is it gives nourishment. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Does that sound like something you want in your life? I want my life to be withered. If I'm a branch, I don't want to be withered. I want to be strong and healthy and producing fruit. Does that, you understand that? In the Christian life, you and I need to understand that strength and nourishment and fruit and success and prosperity comes from being connected to that vine, because that vine is what gives us nourishment. It says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, notice what he says, and my words abide in you. Do you see that? And my words abide in you. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. See, we have to read the Bible, yes, for knowledge, but we need to get the words of God for nourishment, for growth. When you got saved, you were a new Christian. You were a baby Christian. And just like a physical baby needs to be fed so that it can grow and become stronger, the Bible tells us new Christians need to read the Bible and get fed that sincere milk of the Word. The Word of God, let us see, is often likened to food. Matthew 4:3 says, and when the tempter came to him, and he said, if thou be the Son of God, do you remember this, the Lord Jesus Christ being tempted by the devil? And he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Now, there's nothing wrong with eating bread, and there's nothing wrong with turning stones into bread if you can do it. But when the devil tells you to do it, and you don't tell Jesus what to do, do you understand that? And it says, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of Man, he said, if you're really who you say you are, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be bread. Look at verse 4. But he answered and said, look, he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now when he says it is written there, he's quoting back Deuteronomy chapter number 8. We got it there for you. In Deuteronomy chapter number 8, verse 3, it says, and he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna. This is when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know. Notice what he says, that he might make thee know. Why did he feed you with manna? That he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. So you got to understand, so often we fail in our Christian lives. And so often in our Christian lives are weak, they are malnourished, and the reason is because we're not feeding ourselves spiritually. We eat every day. We eat multiple times a day. Some of you eat enough every day to last, you know, last your week. Good night. We eat a lot. I mean, I eat a lot. I like to eat. I don't know about you, but I like to eat. And every, you know, I mean, we don't, I would say this, and I don't know, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I doubt any of us have ever gone a day, physically, thinking to ourselves, I've just been so busy, I just forgot to eat today. I mean, you go 30 minutes, you just ate half an hour ago, and you're like, man, I'm hungry. Stop by the dollar menu. We don't forget to eat physically. But you know what? So many of us will go days and days and days and never feed ourselves spiritually. Jesus Christ said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And your physical man needs to be fed. We understand that. Some of you understand it more than others. But your spiritual man needs to be fed. And our spiritual man is literally starving to death in many of our Christian lives simply because we don't read the Bible. See, you got to understand this. You will not. I don't care how many verses we turn to on a Sunday morning. I don't care how many passages we go to. I don't care how many different type of sermons we preach behind this pulpit. You can come to Verity Baptist Church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You can come to every special event we have. You can come to every activity we have. You can be here every single time that this book is open behind this pulpit and preached. And let me tell you something. If that's the only time you get the Bible throughout the whole week, you're going to fail in your Christian life. You've got to learn to feed yourself. Coming to church is when you go out to that restaurant and we serve up a meal for you and we get it ready and we prepare it and we try to give you a healthy diet at Verity Baptist Church. And but throughout the week, you got to eat yourself. Do you understand what I'm saying? You got to go, you know, and go to Psalms and go to Isaiah and go to Matthew, and on your own, by yourself, you've got to learn to feed your man, your spiritual man, what he needs. Now, you come to Verity Baptist Church, and sometimes we're going to give you a little bit of the stuff you don't like. You know what I'm saying? We're going to make you eat your Brussels sprouts. we're going to make you eat your peas and all those things you don't like. We're going to feed that to you, because sometimes you just got, you know, there's certain things, you know, if it was up to us, we read Proverbs and Psalms all day long. And that's fine. If that's where you're at, do that. But we're here to preach the Word, but you've got to learn to feed yourself. See, the sad thing is that many people who have been Christians for a long time are still spiritual babies. They're spiritually a child. Hebrews chapter number 5 and verse 12 says this, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers." Paul is looking at these people here, and he says, you know, you've been saved long enough that you ought to be teaching. You ought to be preaching. You ought to be getting people saved and discipling them and helping them along. He said, "For when the time that ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And are become," notice what he says, "such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." Imagine that in your, would you like to go back to have, you know, just having milk as a baby? I don't know about you, but I'm into chocolate milk with a steak or something like that. You know what I mean? I want meat. I eat meat with every meal. I put bacon in my cereal. No, I'm just kidding. I don't do it. But you know what I'm saying? When you end up growing up, you know, you start growing these things called teeth, and you start, you know, even little children, they start getting to the place where they say, man, I appreciate the milk, and I appreciate the mashed bananas, and the mashed whatever else you want to give me, but give me a bite of that hamburger right there. Because it's a natural event in life that as you grow, you want to eat something a little more filling than milk. But in our spiritual lives, we have people that have been saved for a year, and 2 years, and 5 years, and 10 years, and 15 years, and 20 years. And when they ought to be up here preaching, when they ought to be up here teaching the Word of God, when they ought to be out here, you know, leading the soul winning and teaching all this, you know, they've just reverted back to this child mentality of drinking milk. And by the way, let me just explain something to you. Spiritual maturity has nothing to do with physical age. And spiritual maturity has nothing to do with how long you've been saved. Spiritual maturity has everything to do with how much of the Bible you know and how much of the Bible you're living and how much, do you understand that? Paul told Timothy, let no man deceive.
despise thy youth,
but be thou an example of the believer.
So you got, you know, you say, well, you know, I don't think. Sometimes people come to the church, well, I like the pastor, good preaching, but he's just a little too young for me. What?
You know what they call that? You know what the Bible calls that? Pride.
Well, if you can do a better job, come up here. I'd love to see it.
And what I'm saying is this. Instead of looking at our ages, why don't we look at our spiritual ages and see how much have you grown spiritually?
Well, I've been saved since 19.
I don't care how long you've been saved. How many times you read the Bible? Now, if you read the Bible a lot, you know you'd be mature enough to realize how many times you read the Bible is not something you need to go around telling people. We understand that. But be in your Bible. Be growing. Every year, you ought to be growing. Every year, you ought to get stronger. Every year, you ought to get better. Every year, you measure your Christian life, by the way, in years. You don't say, well, last week I messed up, and this week I'm doing better, but 2 weeks ago, don't forget about that. Where were you 2 years ago? Where were you a year ago? Every year you get stronger, but there's only one way to do it. There's only one way to get there, and it's to read the Bible for yourself. You've got to be in the Word. Some people, look at verse Hebrews 5:13, for everyone that useth milk. Notice, he says if you're drinking milk spiritually, here's why you're doing it. Everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the Word. You see that? He says, you're not skillful with the Word of God, that's why you're drinking milk. He says, everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the Word of righteousness, for he is a babe. He says, everyone that's drinking milk is unskillful in the Word, because they're a baby, spiritually. Verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use. Do you see that? What did the Bible say makes you a baby? Not being skillful in the Word. What if the Bible say makes you a strong, him that belongs to strong meat? By reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So you say, I want to be a more mature Christian. Here's what you do. You start getting good with this book. You say, well, how do I get skillful with this book? You start reading it. You start flipping through the pages. You'll be surprised as the more you read this Bible, the more you're in this book, the more you memorize the Scripture, you'll start realizing you don't need Pastor Emanis to tell you. If you open up the Bible right smack in the middle, you're more than likely to fall in the Book of Psalms. Now look, I'm willing to say that for the new Christian. But as you read the Bible and you get skilled in this, and I'm not against you if you need me to help you find the Book of Zechariah. I understand some of those books are hard to find. We get that. But I'm telling you this. The more skilled you are in the Bible, you grow in your Christian life. And the Bible says you're a babe in Christ when you haven't exercised yourself in the Word of God. So we've got to read the Bible, number one, for knowledge. Number two, for nourishment and growth. Number three, you ought to read the Bible so that you're not deceived. You ought to read the Bible so that you're not deceived. The Bible tells us there in Acts chapter number 17, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming hither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Look at verse 11. These, the brethren in Berea, were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. You know, that's my dream for Verity Baptist Church. My dream for our church and God's dream for every church is that we would be a church, not that would say, well, the pastor said it, so we believe it. Well, our church believes this, and we're Baptist, and that's what we believe, and we just, that's what we do. No, these people, they search the scriptures daily to see if the Apostle Paul stood up and preached something, and they said, well, you know what? I'm going to search that out for myself, and I'm going to see if that's true. And by the way, that's a good thing. Now notice, I want you to notice this. It says, verse 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word, notice, with all readiness of mind. Some people want to search the scriptures daily because they want to try to figure out where you're wrong. You understand that? These people didn't have a bad attitude with Paul. They wanted to learn. They were ready to learn. They received the word with all readiness of mind, but they also weren't being naive, and they were searching the scriptures daily to make sure they understood what they believed. I'm not saying you ought to come to church with this attitude, well, I'm just gonna see where the pastor's wrong. And if you're trying to find where the pastor's wrong, it's going to be real easy. Come spend an afternoon with me. I'll show you where I'm wrong.
If your life is around, you know, I think they got too many rules at that church. Why? Because every time you ask me a question, I said, have you not read? I just don't think that, it doesn't really matter what you think. And by the way, it doesn't really matter what I think. It matters what the Word of God says, period. Right. People say, well, you know, the Bible says it and I believe it. No, the Bible says it. It doesn't matter if you believe it. The Bible says it, period. End of story. The Word of God is without a guide our lives. And whether you agree with it or not, and whether you like it or not, and whether you did it or not, is not the issue. The issue is the Word of God must have the preeminence in our lives. And the Bible says that these people, they didn't have a bad attitude. These people, they didn't have a bad an issue with Paul. They wanted to learn, and they wanted to grow. But they also wanted to search the Scriptures daily. And you know what you have to do to search the Scriptures daily? Read in your Bible every day. Every day they were in their Bible. To see, notice the last part of verse 11. Whether those things were so. They didn't. These weren't the type of people that said, well, independent fundamental Baptists believe in blah, blah, blah. And look, I'm an independent fundamental Baptist. And I'm proud of it. I've been an independent fundamental Baptist my whole life. I was born a Baptist. And by the grace of God, I'm going to die a Baptist. And I'm not ashamed of that. I'm ashamed of some Baptists, but I'm not ashamed of being a Baptist. But you got to understand, your life does not revolve around what the Baptists believe. Your life ought to revolve around what the Word of God says. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. See, the Christian life is centered around this, the Bible. And we must read it. And by the way, this is why at Verity Baptist Church, we attempt to teach and preach the Bible in heavy doses in every sermon. We do that on purpose. I don't know if you guys really understand that, but it would be easier for me to preach a 20-minute sermonette. It's work to go through and write sermons the way we do it, but we do that for a reason. We do that on purpose. The Bible says, preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Preach the Word. And that's what we're attempting to do. We want you to not only know what you believe, but why you believe it. See, I don't want to get up here and say, you got to go soul winning. You need to go soul winning. No, I want you to know, why should you go soul winning? Oh, because people are going to die and go to hell? Because they're going to be cast into a lake of fire if their name's not found in the book of life? Okay, I get that. You see what I'm saying? At that church, they have all these rules, and they expect you to dress a certain way, and they expect you, number one, if these words ever come out of your mouth, don't let them come out of your mouth in my presence, because I will correct you. At that church, they got so many rules. We have no rules at Verity Baptist Church. You can mess up your life as much as you want, and we'll still love you. You've got a right to be dumb. We don't have any rules. But you know what we do have is preaching of the Word of God. And here's the only rules we have. You do what you want, and I'll preach what the Bible says I should preach. And you can come here and we'll still love you. You can come here and do whatever you want and believe whatever you want and do and have whatever attitude. Guess what? We'll still love you. We'll still care for you. I'm pretty sure Brother Vincent will still give you a bulletin. Someone will shake your hand. Hey, we'll be here for you. But we're going to preach the Word. That's how it works. And that's how it ought to work. We preach the Word. Why? Look at Ephesians 4:14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. See, he says there, and I want you to see this. If you look at verse, I know we skipped 1 Peter 3:15. We'll get back to it. But look at verse Ephesians 4:14. That we henceforth be no more what? Do you see that? Children. That talks about being an immature Christian. He said, don't be an immature child anymore. He said, well, what is an immature child? Those who are tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. You know what he's saying? Know what you believe. Well, how can I know what I believe? Read your Bible. Read your Bible. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Say, why should we read the Bible? So you're not deceived. See, I and we don't do this around here, but you ought not be ever led by a man. A man could lead you the wrong way. A man could lead you to believe and think. And by the way, if you want to fight me about the Bible, get ready for a fight. But you know the only time that you should kick me out is when I start preaching anything that's not out of this book. If I start preaching things and they're not from this Bible, and they're against this Bible, then you should kick me out. Then you should get a new pastor. If you're just mad at me because I preached the Word of God and you didn't like it, well, tough. Grow up. But we need to understand that the Word of God, at the end of the day, the Word of God is our authority. And by the way, this is the book we'll be judged out of. Not your feelings, not your experiences, not what you thought about it, not how you felt about it. God will judge you out of this book. And I don't know about you, but if I'm playing a game and it's got certain rules, I want to know what the rules are. Because I want to win. And we've got to be on our Bibles. Why? So that we can have knowledge. Why? So that we can grow and be nourished. Why? So that we be not deceived. So that no one can come up to you. So nobody can knock on your door and say, well, do you know that Jesus and the devil, they're actually twin brothers. You ever heard that before? And you can say, no. Have you not read? The Bible doesn't say that. See, people are going to try to deceive you. You're going to turn on the radio one day and you're going to hear some old man say, the world's going to end. Well, actually, it was a welcome to family forum. The world's going to end. And this specific day. And you know what you should be thinking to yourself? Man, that guy's never read when Jesus said, no man knoweth the day nor the hour. But see, people, do you know that when that man was saying that, people literally spend hundreds and thousands of dollars. I mean, their entire life savings to get billboards up. There's billboards all over. I mean, I traveled a lot for my job. I was going up and down California, and I saw billboards everywhere. The world's going to end. The world's going to end. People gave up, and then it didn't end, and those people just out of all that money. And you feel bad for them, but then at the same time, you're kind of like, well, you would have read the Bible. So you're not deceived. Let's conclude with this. Let me give you some practical things. If you're going to read the Bible, you're not going to do it by mistake. You're not going to do it by accident. You've got to make a decision to read your Bible every day. You've got to make a decision to read your Bible every day. You should make a decision to read your Bible every day. You say, why do you keep repeating that? Because hopefully when you're sleeping tonight, you'll just hear my voice saying, make a decision. What was that decision on? Read your Bible. You got to make a decision, read your Bible every day. 1 Timothy 4:13, till I come, give attendance. That word attendance means give attention to. What do I give attendance to? To reading. You see that? He says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Revelation 1:3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Number two, just trying to give you some advice. Do it first thing in the morning. Do it first thing in the morning. We do the most important things first. You ever notice that? The most important things we need to get done, those are the ones we do first. So you know what you ought to do first is read your Bible. Colossians 1:18 says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That means that he would be first. If you have, there's an example there, if you have the tendency to not read the Bible first, this is what usually happens. You get busy, you forget, you don't have time, just do it first. Don't do anything, get up in the morning, maybe grab a cup of coffee first, but after you got the coffee, get the Bible and read it. Before the day gets busy, before the day gets out of control, get up a little earlier, read the Bible, be in the Bible. Number three, I'm just trying to give you some practical things, make a decision to read your Bible. Look, don't leave here tonight without deciding in your heart, I'm going to read the Bible every day. You say, I've never read the Bible cover to cover. You got to make a goal of reading your Bible at least one time cover to cover. Why don't you do that in 2013, read the Bible cover to cover. We can help you read the whole New Testament in 1 month. That'll give you 11 months to read the Old Testament. You'll be fine. Make a decision to read the Bible. Do first things first. Do it first thing in the morning. Number three, and look, I struggle with this. It's hard. But you got to have Bible time with your family. Your spouse and your children. Read and teach them the Bible. You ought to do this. And look, it's hard, I get it. Our schedules are hard. it's hard to do this, and we're not the best of it. I'm not the best at it in my home, but we need to try to do this. Get into a routine of reading the Bible to your children. Deuteronomy 6:6 says, "And these words," referring to the law of God, "and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Notice what he says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." Whose job is it to teach your children? God says it's your job. And by the way, God gave you those kids. They're your responsibility. God wants you to love Him and God wants you to teach Him. He says, "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." Hey, you ought to be in your Bible. You ought to be talking about your Bible, the Bible, all the time with your kids. I like how it says it. It says, "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house." When you're just sitting there, instead of just watching TV, why don't you just talk about the Bible with your kids? When thou walkest by the way, you're walking to school, or you're walking to a store, or you're taking a stroll in the park. Hey, instead of just talking about these dumb things, sports, you know, the weather, politics, or whatever, hey, why don't you talk about the Word of God? And I look, yeah, I'm all into politics, and I'm all into, there's a time for that, we understand that. But hey, take time to talk to your kids about the Bible. When thou liest down, when you go to bed, you read them a bedtime story. Read them a bedtime story, but read the Bible with them. And when thou rises up, you know, that's one thing I will say, my wife is very consistent in reading the Bible with our children in the mornings. And that's good. You got to have that. You got to have that routine. To get up and be in your Bible. Hey, your kids ought to know that they're being raised in a Christian home. You say, well, what makes a Christian home? We go to church on Sunday? No, the Bible is before our eyes all week long, every day. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We need to be a people of the Word. The Bible says that they are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know, what I desire most for our church is not necessarily big crowds, although we understand that getting crowds in here, hey, the more souls that are in here, the more we can preach the Bible to, praise the Lord for it. But you know, we ought to develop people in this church that truly have a personal relationship with God. Their own relationship. Where you know God, and God knows you, and you know His book, and you know His Word. I'm just trying to challenge you. Would you read your Bible every day? Would we be a people of the book? That we would know the Bible? That we would understand the Word of God. Hey, and I want to challenge you this. January, 9 chapters a day. You know, don't let it scare you. Just say, you know what? I'm going to take that challenge. I'm going to do it. Maybe you didn't do it last year. Maybe you have never done it. Maybe you've never even attempted to read the Bible. It's fine. Say, you know, this year I'm going to do it. 9 chapters a day. I'm going to get excited about it. You know, plan it out. Get up early. Stay up late. Do what you want. Read during your lunch break. Whenever you need to do it. Just make time for the Word of God. We need it in our lives. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord, so much. Thank you for our church. And Lord, I just pray that this lesson would have maybe be something that would be used in our lives to challenge us, Lord, to just be in the Bible. And Lord, I know that we all struggle with time management. We all struggle with being busy. We all struggle with all sorts of things that we do. But Lord, if we would just, I just believe if we were people that were daily and consistently in our Bibles, I just believe it revolutionized our lives. Father, I pray you'd help all of us to be in the Word. We love you. In your precious name I pray. Amen.